Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. It's time to get fired up. Wow. Raptors should have had some Chunky Spicy Soup today before the game. I mean, Raptors, it's the second half of back-to-back. We obviously know that there's no chance of them winning. They extend the losing streak to 15 straight games. That was going to be inevitable whether they were playing Minnesota or any other opponent. You know, there's still a crowd out there that's like, well, these are all tank games. Honestly, sure, why not? But Raptors tonight go to Minnesota. They have eight available players. All right, Gary Trent is unable to play due to his back. Kelly Olynyk gets rested. And honestly, Kelly, I mean, he's been suiting up every single game. This just leaves Grady as the only guy who's played every single game since the trade deadline. Bruce Brown ruled out for this one. Probably saw that it was Anthony Edwards on the other side and said, I'm good. RJ Barrett's coming back from injury, and he hasn't really played back-to-backs. And, you know, they continue to list the knee management. So I'm curious to see what is actually going on with his knee, because obviously when we see him take the court, he's been excellent. And salute to RJ. Already very, very much missed his just overall competence, competitiveness, drive, focus, everything like that. And of course, the rest of them are just kind of been injured anyway. Raptors roll into Minnesota here, second half of back-to-back, probably got in pretty late to Minnesota, of course. And not only that, but they played with the requisite minimum of eight players because they only made sure to get to that eight by signing a player shortly before the game. 9 hours before the game, it was announced that the Raptors had signed Malik Williams, who is now the 30th player to wear a Raptors uniform and take the court tonight. That does not mean that the Raptors have had 30 players rostered. The Raptors actually have had 32 players rostered. Christian Koloko did not take the court this year. Who else? And then Justice Winslow was on a 10-day, but didn't actually get into some game time. Any case, this whole season, they go into this. They bring in Malik Williams, who I don't even think it's completely fair to assess him. I mean, like, you know, first off, like, I'm happy for him, right? He gets to, you know, I'm sure this is, you know, even though it's a disappointing game, it's still got to be a really surreal moment. You make the league 10-day, you make a bunch of money as well. More importantly, you know, it's a culmination of a lot of work, and I'm sure this is a significant moment. But it's like the Raptors basically, like, Uber Eats them to the game. Was like, okay, we need a big just to, like, buy a little bit of time. Kelly's been going nonstop for us, you know, and even that's not enough. But, you know, we lost our third string center. Well, we lost our backup center to start the year, Christian, because of a health issue that has sort of held him out ever since. So it's been really unfortunate what's going on with him. Then it was like, well, you know, we made some signings out of the G League. We get Jonte Porter. He looked pretty solid in decent moments, but it turns out he's now enwrapped in, like, probably the biggest betting scandal to hit the NBA since Tim Donaghy. So, okay, so now he's unavailable. You trade for Kelly, and, you know, he's been playing as much as he can. He's out now because, again, like, I just don't see what the point is of, like, overextending him to this degree. And now it's just, like, we just need somebody. And obviously, Jakob has been out twice this season with some pretty unfortunate injuries. You just got to get a big, and that's just Malik Williams in this situation. He just walks in. I can only imagine they had some walkthrough. Maybe an assistant coach showed him some, like, very basic plays, but otherwise, it's a complete stranger joining the group. You know, it's like when you go to the pickup, you go to the park, and you're just grabbing an extra guy. Be like, hey, there's a tall guy over there. Let's grab him so we have five so we can run. Like that, it's the exact same scenario. And the Raptors lose this game. Obviously, they lose this game. The line for this game was like 17.5. And somehow that didn't even come close because the Raptors lose 133-85. It is the most lopsided game in franchise history. Raptors' previous record was 46 points. And you know what? In the fourth quarter, when Jack brought this up on the broadcast, that became the new line. Like, forget, like, betting. It was just sort of like, okay, are we going to hit a new low? And, of course, we've had multiple times this season where you'd have been, you know, 40-point losses, things like that, where you're like, okay, you know what? We've had to really worry about it. And this time they actually did tip over the edge there. And, you know, their losing streak now hits 15. Their longest ever losing streak is 17 games. This is back in the second or third year after expanding. And it's, I guess it's only fitting that in the midst of the second worst losing streak in franchise history, you see them also lose by the biggest margin. And I think, like, nobody is, like, you know, surprised by the fact that they're losing. I mean, everyone understands the situation that they're in. You might even say, well, you know, again, tanking is a reality of the situation here. Or, you know, maybe they're trying to improve upon that as well. We've already seen them duck below Memphis. Memphis is now a solid 3 games ahead of the Raptors, which is, you know, essentially like it's not really that movable. There's only a chance maybe the Raptors can catch Portland for the fifth loss, worst lottery odds, or the first best lottery odds. And, you know, again, they're 3 games behind Toronto. They won tonight because they were playing the Charlotte Hornets, who somehow only scored 86 points. Which still is more than Toronto, by the way. Toronto had 85 in this one. But yeah, I mean, like, even at this point, like, the tanking incentive has got to be going out the door. E2, it's just very much like, let's just run out the string. Let's play because, and let's play with, you know, players that we've just brought in overnight. Let's, not even overnight, the same day of. Let's just get this game out the way. And yes, it's on the calendar. Yes, we were in the Raptors uniforms, but it is nowhere close to what really should, you know, anything close to a Raptors product. Obviously, if this happens, you know, in the future, it means the Raptors are once again in a similar situation, chasing lottery balls or whatever. But I mean, even still, like, you watch this game and it's like, okay, fine, the Raptors are playing, you know, shorthanded with their third stringers. First off, I mean, they do have their starting point guard Emmanuel Quickley, who finished with 7 of 17 shooting, but really struggled in this one to generate his own offense. Wasn't really able to sort of, you know, control and dictate that much for the group. You know, I mean, he's playing with a guy that is a literal stranger to him. So, you know, you could say it's a little bit of that, but it's also just, I think, anything Quickley was able to impose himself well in the game and have some control over the game. Grady's another guy you would watch for long-term. Tonight, he first, you know, half, he wasn't really that involved. I thought the Timberwolves did a good job of guarding him. I mean, it's a tough assignment. I mean, he's got Nikhil Alexander-Walker draped all over him. Then he's got, like, Jalen McDaniels sometimes. Then he's got Anthony Edwards sometimes. Like, and it's not easy. And, of course, it's not easy for him to go backdoor either because Gobert is basically playing, like, you know, a one-man zone in the paint. So, you know, and the few times Grady did go against Gobert, he swatted him so easily. Clearly, it just wasn't big enough. So, for Grady, it was like, all right, well, I got to get my shots up. And you saw a little bit of that in the second half, just him, like, you know, taking some contested mid-range jumpers, taking some crossover and mid-range pull-ups, kind of stuff like that. I don't think it's the stuff that is anywhere close to be refined enough to be played at an NBA level, quite frankly. But, again, you know, you might look at it for some silver linings there. I don't think you found any of those, quite frankly. In the, and then, yeah, I mean, the second unit, 3 guys, Mohamedou Gay coming off the bench, 3 points, you know, a couple blocks, you know, plays hard, but ultimately gets moved out the way very easily. Jordan Wara, who actually has a pretty good stat line of 14 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, but some really careless turnovers. Like, for the second game in a row, second night in a row, he had a turnover just, like, driving along the baseline and stepping out of bounds, even though he was under not that much pressure, quite frankly. Just stepped out of bounds because he wasn't careful. And then Javon Freeman-Liberty, who, you know, yeah, okay, 16, 5, and 6, you know, 5 turnovers, but realistically, you know, can you tell me that any of these other guys are guaranteed to be in the roster next year? I mean, Quickley and Grady are the only 2 out of those, and I didn't think that they play particularly well either. On the other end, like, Minnesota starting the game, offensively they were slow, 23 points in the first quarter. You know, it seemed like they could, I don't know, they couldn't really find the range from 3, but as the game went on, I mean, the Raptors just continued to get sloppier and sloppier to the point where it was like, again, like, there, it doesn't even feel like there's a standard. Like, there's not even a bottom that they really hit. You know, like, they just kind of roll the ball out and, you know, they're not really running sets. They're just rushing up the floor. Guys are taking them, you know, whoever rebounds the ball is probably going to bring the ball up and shoot it. And of course, when you get into the sloppy basketball, you're going to have some bad shots, you're going to have some turnovers, and then the other team's going to run on you, and that's how you run up the score on a team. That's why this game got so out of hand. Like, I don't even think realistically it matters at all what happens in this game, but, like, yes, it doesn't matter, but, like, at a certain point, like, the competitiveness, the pride. I mean, I don't even want to sound corny, but like, I do believe that there got to be some kind of standard when you put on a Raptors uniform. Like, it can't mean nothing. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just a fan in me. Maybe that's an idealist in me. But it can't just mean nothing night after night to go out there, play in the NBA, play for the Raptors, and just come up with this. Like, at a certain point, it's understandable because they're in a difficult situation. But you see the Timberwolves' third unit come in. You see the Timberwolves' fourth unit come in, and they just run up the score on you. You know what I mean? Like, okay, at a certain point, it's like, yeah, we don't have answers for Anthony Edwards. We don't have answers for Rudy Gobert. We don't have answers for some of these other guys. But, like, we don't have answers for Josh Minot. We don't got answers for Leonard Miller, who came on the program earlier today. Thank you for doing that. We did say, I hope to see you in the game, and we did see him in the game. You know, we don't have answers for Monty Morris. We don't have answers for Luka Garza. You know what I mean? Like, you can't tell me that, like, you know, that is not part of this. Like, I don't know. I mean, is it silly to say that, like, if they had lost by a standard 25 points versus a franchise record 48 points, that, you know, the tone of the show would be pretty different, or the feeling of, in the effect of, you know, whatever? Probably. Like, probably not, to be honest, because, you know, the end result is the same. But, like, damn. Like, we're just supposed to, like, I don't know. I guess I have to I tune in because this is my job and this is my passion. I did tweet out middle of the game, like, well, first quarter, really. Just shout out to all Raptor fans who are still watching this. And a lot of people were raising their hand and saying, yes, I still watch. Some people were like, yes, I've tuned out, whatever. But there's clearly a lot of people who still tune in. And maybe that's just like, you know, we need some kind of entertainment, right? Like, I've changed the channel, for example, and the Jays are now down 5-0 against the Astros. So, like, you know, it's not exactly like other sports in the city. You know, you could pivot to something else. You could just, you know, abandon the product whatsoever. But, like, that shouldn't be your choice. Like, even in these garbage games, you would love to see, like, a player pop off and give you something, show you something. You know, a lot of players around the league are in similar situations where, you know, there's a lot of losing teams, but, you know, certain guys are running with the opportunities, you know, like, and this is not like me ruining the fact that the Raptors lost to these guys or whatever. Like, I think it's completely understandable why, you know, Delano Banton and Malachi Flynn are no longer on the team. We saw what they did in Toronto, it just wasn't enough, and you know, they're getting a second chances elsewhere, and they're doing well. But, like, yeah, I mean, look at what Delano's been doing with the Blazers, you know, showing something, like, you know, multiple 30-point games, you know, developing on his three as compared to what he did previous stops, stuff like that, in Toronto, obviously, and essentially just translating what he did in the G League, carrying over to these games, which are not quite G League level. Like, I wouldn't even say that these are G League levels, but, like, you know, somewhere between G League and NBA level when you're playing the Charlotte Hornets, right? And he's showing you something. Malachi Flynn, who is, like, you know, he's Malachi. I don't have to explain that. Everyone who's watched the Raptors recently has seen what Malachi has done. He's averaging, like, I don't know, 5 points on the season. He had a 50 ball tonight. And, of course, it was against the Atlanta Hawks. And, of course, the Pistons lost the game anyway. But even Malachi Flynn comes in with a 50 ball. You know what I mean? Like, who on the Raptors is even, like, you know, in terms of new pickups, in terms of guys that, you know, you're adding to this group, that you feel like, okay, they're taking this opportunity and then they're just running with it. They're like seizing it and they're going with it and they're playing all out, and there's like a pride and there's like a, he's building on this. Like, this is a big chance for a lot of these guys. Like, quite frankly, Mohamedou Gay is not getting 20 minutes a game next season, right? Javon Freeman Liberty not getting 27, 30 minutes a game next season. Jordan Warren not getting 30 minutes a game next season. You know, Malik Williams getting 31 minutes to come in, you know, join the team randomly. I'm going to leave him out of this because he literally just joined us within the last 12 hours. Let's put him aside. You know, I mean, McDaniel's not playing 37 minutes. Like, okay, but where is anything, right? And I'm talking about this game. I'm not expecting, like, you know, they got to show me a 50 ball. But, like, show me some progress. Show me something where it's, like, it's a marketable skill. And not even me. Like, just even for themselves. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a higher standard that we see here. Like, the Raptors hit 15 straight losses now. Realistically, tanking, mission accomplished. You know what I mean? Like, I suppose they could lose the rest. First off, they definitely could lose the rest of the games this season. But I don't know if I see three more wins for Portland, for example. But even if that were the case, it's like, okay, that part is one thing. But, like, that's not the business of the players. That's not the business of the coaches. It's not. It's. I wouldn't even say it's the business of the front offices. Like, their hands are tied. You know, the situation is what it is this season. They got the injuries. But, like, there's not even a feeling. There's not even a frustration that you see. You know, like, this is why I asked Darko before the game against the Lakers yesterday. I asked him pregame, like, you know, Darko, what can you take out of these games where your players are getting blown out to this degree? And he said, you know, you could still try to judge if the players are, like, you know, got a game plan. Are they following the you know, playing the right way? Are they, you know, developing on their own individual sort of development plans that they have for them? If that's the case, like, I think the answer is no across the board, right? Like, maybe, like, Grady's the exception. He's turning around a little bit. He's still quite inconsistent. There's a little here and there, but whatever. Like, you at least see some tangible improvement with Grady. But you should also do that, right? Like, he's the first round pick. And yes, I think expectations got set, you know, very low after we saw how much he struggled to start the year. And it's really impressive how he's bounced back and he's sort of restored that belief. But still, it's a player that the Raptors clearly believed in a lot. And you know, they took him in the first round, 13th overall. He's playing, you know, up to expectations sometimes, obviously up and down, but we can leave him out of it. But, like, the rest of the guys, like, I wouldn't necessarily say they're playing the right way. You know what I mean? Like, they're playing just so that we can scratch another game off the calendar type of deal. And, you know, there was a scene earlier this year. I remember when the Raptors lost to the Pistons. Beat the Pistons, right? The Raptors beat the Pistons. And, the Raptors beat them by like 40. Like, it, basically in this type of game, right? And it's even worse, I would say, because of the fact that the Pistons had a lot of their available players. And the Pistons at this point had lost their 11th straight. They lost 142-113 against the Raptors, right? And this is what Kate Cunningham said after the game, and he was super frustrated. So, like, that's the tone of it, too. He said, quote, "We got to be realistic about the situation. It's hard to just be like, we're good, you know what I'm saying? Because we're bad. We have to address that. We have to address that we're not good at, or what we're not good at. We have to address it not only with our words, but on the court, in the huddles." And then, you know, he was asked about the team's competitiveness or the lack thereof night after night, and Cunningham said this, quote, "Unacceptable. We're the youngest team in the league, scrapping and clawing for everything. That should be the last thing that needs to be asked of us or talked about, how hard we're competing. That should be a given. When we wake up in the morning, we should be like, we got to get on the court. Head coach Monty Williams shouldn't have to tell us about our competitive level. That's something me and, you know, the other players are trying to stay vocal about. Everyone has to come with it." And it's like, I get it. It's a different part in the season. I think the Pistons also at that point probably had more expectations. There's no expectations for the Raptors currently right now, obviously, as they wrap up the year, other than just like, let's just wrap it up. But like, even the Pistons can feel like frustrated and upset about like how the season was going for them. And of course they went on to extend a losing streak to 28 games before the Raptors were the ones, ironically, who mercifully snapped that streak for them. But like, you know what I mean? Like, even the Pistons were stepping up and saying like, "Hey, we're frustrated with this." I haven't even heard one player, one coach, anybody express anything close to like, "You know what? This is unacceptable." Like, you know, in those firm terms of addressing it head on, of like, it's just like, well, it's about, you know, the individual development plans for the players. And I asked Darko too, like, you know, "Do you ever struggle to motivate these players? The season's been so difficult." And he said, "Well, I hope we shouldn't, you know, need that. You know, we should always appreciate the fact that we're lucky to play in the NBA. And, you know, he was talking about LeBron, but he was like, "Yeah, you know, we were able to see one of the best players of all time tonight. There's got to be a personal pride." But like, It's not even close. Like, the fact that they've lost 15 straight, the fact that they lost by 48 tonight, which is literally the worst margin of all time in franchise history, it just rolls off of people's backs. Like, it's kind of remarkable. And again, I'm not saying I need them to win. I'm not saying I need them to do something unrealistic. But, like, there are degrees here. There are degrees here. There's multiple games that have been like this. And, you know, whatever. Circumstance, being back-to-back in Minnesota, you know, even if the Raptors had their full complement of players, they still might have had a really difficult time. You know, we know the Raptors struggle with size, so the fact that they, you know, struggled to handle Gobert, you know, obviously it's not going to be easy. Anthony Edwards gives a lot of people fits, and he hit a bunch of pull-up jumpers tonight. It looked like Anthony Edwards was just using this game for practice, just to try out, just to, like, get himself out of a shooting slump. He didn't even shoot that ball well, but he took so many contested shots that, like, it felt like he was just, like, here to, like, work out some of the kinks. Like, he was, like, you know, going against an assistant coach or something. Naz Reid, you know, getting up every shot that he wants to. 10 threes for Naz Reid. Like, I mean, and he made six. Congratulations, honestly. That you know, he had a good time. And then all the Timberwolves, third stringers, fourth stringers, when they came in the game, they were hungry. You know, Leonard Miller going against the Raptors, you know, he's from Scarborough. You know, it's got to be a real pride kind of thing for him. Josh Minot throwing down massive dunks. That put the Timberwolves up 48 at the end of the game there. Luka Garza, you know, posting up and getting the easiest buckets. Like, I don't even think it was that easy for him to score in college or high school. You know, they're playing hard. Now, of course, it's easy to play hard when you got the lead. It's easy to play hard when you're at home. You got all this. But, like, this is not a one-time thing for the Raptors. Like, this is just where we are. And I do really feel bad for people who are still tuning in. I mean, if you disagree with this and you're like, this is acceptable, well, you're being too hard on them. You know, honestly, maybe I am. Maybe it's just because we've seen so much good Raptors basketball over the last decade that it's like so jarring when you see this in the light. But like, even in Tampa, it wasn't this bad. I'm telling you, it really wasn't. Even in Tampa, you can get a little bit excited about, okay, this is what Malachi's doing at the end of the year. This is what Jalen Harris was doing at the end of the year. Which I know sounds kind of silly now, but damn, at least in the moment, it was like something to carry you through those games. You know, you know, Utah might be a bit of a keeper here. You know, maybe if you want to go forward, it seemed like at least Stanley Johnson can get another year in the league. But if he played this hard all the time, of course, offensively, it was some struggle, whatever. Like, I'm just telling you, it wasn't like this, man. This is like no standards level performances. And you could tell me that the situation is bad. You could tell me the situation is bad, but my goodness, man. And the fact that I think it's just the fact that like not a single person is bothered. I feel like sometimes like I almost feel ridiculous for being bothered that the Raptors lost by 48. Like I'm supposed to just accept that because of the tanking or because of this and that. Like, okay. All right. Well, productively from this game, you can't take much away from it. You know, typical guy would hand out 3 stars. Let's be honest. We got to respect the 3 stars. You know, if Raptors don't got standards, the 3 stars have standards. But before I go, I will bring in this message from our sponsor. You ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles, all in a tasty spicy broth, so it'll fill you up and get you fired up. Let's take your day to the next level, see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Yeah, the Raptors got to drink some of this before they play games, honestly. Like, it's anything to get them fired up, because, you know, when the camera pans around and it's, like, just guys laughing and joking after the games, too, it's like, all right, man. I guess we don't have them saying 1-2-3 Cancun explicitly, but, like, you might as well at this point, right? And I think, honestly, it's a leadership thing. Like, I'm not expecting, you know, quite frankly, like, first off, that's petty of me to even say, because like, whatever, Kelly's saying hi to his former teammate in Mike Conley, who's a very beloved player, and Ochai saying hi to him, and Nikhil's, you know, obviously teammates with Kelly, they're going to smile and laugh, whatever. That's normal. I'm not even saying that, but I'm saying like, I haven't seen what Darko said post game, because I'm recording this right afterwards. But I am very curious to see like what he says about it. You know what I mean? And I don't expect him to like rip the team. Like, it's at least got to be acknowledged that, like, losing in this fashion is unproductive. It's a waste of time, specifically to waste the time, because we're trying to get through the season. And you know what? Ultimately, it is unacceptable in any circumstances. Even if it's, like, the only guy who has an excuse for me right now is Malik Williams, because he literally joined the team, again, because they use same-day shipping for the players that they're adding to the roster so they can give Kelly one day off, finally. And well-deserved for Kelly. He's been going at it hard. But, like, the rest of the guys, like, there's opportunity on the table. There's minutes here. And it's just, yeah, then this is what you get. I mean, you know, I even wonder, like, okay, productively, what do you see from film sessions after a game like this? Like, what do you show Jordan Ward? Like, hey, guess what? That's the baseline. Don't step on it. Like, you know, whatever. I don't want to be mean about it. The situation is hard enough as it is. I can obviously accept that, but yeah, these games are very difficult. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe. And yeah, you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup.